Welcome to Principles of Faith. Today we have a special speaker, Shala Islamzadeh, sharing about the biblical truth, unity in Christ.
You just need to stop making yourself. You know, I don't care if it's going to be 5 of us, 2 of us, 10 of us. All I care is for Holy Spirit to be in our midst. Then we know we're in the right class, we have the right teacher, we are at his presence. And you know, the way today started, from the beginning, Beverly started talking. I was like, and then the songs, and then I'm the last person, so I knew my teaching. I was like, how beautifully you orchestrate the whole thing. What he put place in Beverly's heart to speak about friendship. And we're singing these songs that anytime we call him, he hears us. And I'm looking at these words, and I'm just looking at it as I'm singing it. I'm like, this is everything I'm going to teach. How wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. Let's go before his presence. Father, we praise you. Father, we thank you. You're a mighty Father. You're a mighty Father. How good you are. We praise you. We thank you, Father. Father, we can never comprehend the depth of the love you have for us. We praise you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that it was your plan for him to come on earth and pay the penalty for our sin with his very own blood. Thank you, Father. Father, it was your plan for us to be free today, free from sin, and to have your Spirit within us. You are a mighty, mighty Father. You have never left us in this world as an orphan. Now your Spirit lives within us, our guider, our teacher. And it's because you planned it for us this way. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, we praise you. We thank you for choosing our body as your temple. Thank you. It is our honor to know that our body is your temple. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I submit my tongue, my words, my mouth, my heart, wholeheartedly and joyfully to you, that you are the teacher of this class, not me. And this is your classroom, not mine. We all are at your presence, and we're giving you thanks and praise for everything that you have in store to teach us. Every truth that you want to reveal to us today, we give you thanks and praise. Thank you. Thank you. Have your way, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, in our songs, it says that you hear me when I call. And as I was getting ready for this teaching, he wanted me to start with Psalms 34. So let's go to Psalms 34. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, all the verses. I'm just going to read the ones that he asked me to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So David is excited, and he's shouting with victory. I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. glorify the Lord with me. He says, come and unite with me. Come and unite with me. Let us exalt his name together. But now he says, why? He said, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. It brings me this part. It says, this poor man called on him, and God saved him out of all his troubles. And he sent his angels, and the angels encamped around this person, whoever comes to Lord. And they help him to be delivered from the hands of the enemy or from the troubles. It reminds me of what happened in Daniel's. And Daniel's is not the only one. It's talking about all of us. But put your fingers right here. Don't go anywhere from Psalms 34. But let's go to Daniel's 6:23. I want to give you a better picture of what David means. And this is all of us. This is all of us. This is what happened. We come to the Lord. We trust him. This is what happened when we come to him and rely on him. So Daniel against what the king Darius said, went to the boom, the top of the house, and started worshiping Father, worshiping God. So they threw him into the lion's den, but he came out of lion's den safe and sound, and nothing happened to Daniel. Listen to him. So Daniel answers the king, may the king live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave order to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him. Why? Why the angel was sent? Why Daniel came out of this lion's den without being harmed? Because he had trusted in his God. So when we go to him, we trust our Father. We unite ourselves with Father. Let's go back to Psalms 34. For those who fear him, lack not nothing, is 9b. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good things. Let's go all the way down to 17. We said Abraham believed. That's what the song said when we were singing. It said in James 2, it says Abraham believed. And because he believed, Father called him his friend. And we believe in Jesus Christ. And for that reason, we are called his friend. We are his children, even in a higher level, his children. And we are righteous through his blood, through Holy Spirit who lives within us. And see what in Psalm 34, what is talking about righteous people. Psalms 34:17, it says, the righteous cries out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Means the Lord protects all righteous people's bones. No one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servant. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Hallelujah to his mighty name. A week before last, I taught on the power of unity. And it started from the word trust. I said, Holy Spirit took me to Psalms 9. And in Psalms 9, there is the word, it says, trust in the Lord. And what Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, it says, when we trust in him, we get united with the kingdom of God. And I said, when we pray, we're not alone. I said, when we get united, when we trust Father, when we trust Holy Spirit, when we trust Jesus, we get united with the kingdom of God. We said in Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, it said the mystery was revealed, that the heaven and earth came to unity. The kingdom of earth and kingdom of heaven are united. There's only one kingdom, and it's kingdom of God wherever we go. And I said, I gave everyone this picture that now it's us on earth, a great cloud of witness in heaven, and Father, Son, Holy Spirit above us. All three of us get united when we pray. This is why in James 5:16 it says the prayers of righteous person is mighty. Why? Because we are not on our own. We have mighty people behind us, supporting us. And on top of that, we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit who's supporting us. And they send angels. And victory is always ours. I was listening to the testimony of this mighty man of God. He said that there was a girl who came to church and she was suffering from suicidal thoughts, harming herself. He said that he came to me to pray for him, but when I prayed for him, Father gave me a word, and this is what the word was. He said, I looked at her and I said, Father says, carry on doing on earth what you are famous for in heaven. He said it didn't make sense to me, but I told her, and she said, I don't know. And he said, well, good, now it's two of us who don't know what God means. He said, as I was praying, suddenly God, Father, gave me a picture. And in this picture, I saw this girl. Everyone left the house, and I saw this girl move all the furniture, all the chairs to the side, and play the praise and worship song and start dancing. And I said, I told the girl, I said, I see that you are by yourself in the house, and you moved all the furniture to the side, and you open up the space, and you play the praise and worship songs, and you are dancing. And he said, as soon as I said that, the girl started crying. And he said, that's the word. Father says that you are famous for dancing in heaven. Carry on. What are you doing? Don't focus on anything else. He said, God started giving me more words. He said, anytime you're dancing, I'm right there as your audience. I have never missed not even one of your performances. He said, the girl went away. And I think this suicidal thought were very strong to the point the family members locked all the sharp items, medications. And this girl always danced when she was by herself. And she said that was the only time I never felt lonely or alone. I felt, I had this joy in my heart. A few weeks later, she comes to this man who prayed over him, this mighty man of God, and gave her testimony. He said, I slept and in the dream, I dream that I'm dancing. You know, dreams are the vision of the night. Dreams are not just dreams. It's the vision of the night. Father is showing us. the things we need to see. Every night before I go to sleep, I said, Father, I give you my spirit. Show me what I want to see. Show me people I need to pray. Show me what you want me to do. And he always shows me. But this girl said, I dream that I'm dancing in the house. I'm by myself and I'm dancing. And suddenly, the roof of the house was took off. And when I looked up, I saw a huge crowd of people. Multiple number of people are looking down at me and clapping. And looking down on me as I'm dancing. Father showed her the great cloud of witness in heaven. And she said, when I woke up, all the thoughts were gone. And I instantly was healed. But praise the Lord that we know that we have a cloud of witnesses with us. They are right there. They're watching us and they're praying for us. Jesus is praying for us. Our high priest, he's right there before the throne. And he's praying for all of us. The same way he was praying for Peter. And we're going to read that he prayed before he left. He prayed for all of us. For us today. So I was looking at these words. And he says, speak what is the truth. When we were singing the song, here is my heart. When Holy Spirit was preparing me for this teaching, he gave me a deeper meaning of what true means. In the book of Bible, when we read John 17:17, it says the truth is his word. It's only through his words, meditating through in his words, shows us what the truth is. Help us to recognize false teachers, false prophets, people who speak a wrong words. The truth is only his word. For people who weren't here, I'm just going to quickly give the other scriptures that I went through and Holy Spirit taught us in the power of unity. We went a class before last class. We went through Ephesians 1:9-10. We went through 2 Corinthians 5:14-20, that the message of God is reconciliation. Reconciliation means reunited with God. But why doesn't say united? It says reunited. Because we were united in the beginning with Father. But because of sin, separation happened. But Father said, come and be reunited with me. Let's come together. Let's become one again. We went over 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. That Holy Spirit talks about one spirit, one body. He says we all are baptized by one spirit or through one spirit into one body. We are one and we need to stay united. As I was praying to what to teach today, Holy Spirit said, our sermon on unity, his sermon on unity, being united, is not done yet. You know, last week, the focus of teaching was for us to be united with Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We ought to be united with the kingdom of God. But now, even on earth, when we get united, it is mighty. When we get united, mighty things happen. We see the stories in the Bible that when people of God got united, they gathered together, they bonded, victory happens. For instance, we read the book of Esther. Before she present the request to the king, what did he say? What did she say? She sent a message to all the Israelites. He said, get united with me. let's fast and pray for 3 days. That is the power of unity. You know, we read that Esther was this she had this magnificent beauty. She was beautiful. But one thing that makes, and one main reason that caused the king pay more attention to Esther, it was the favor of God being on her. That was the main thing that make her to look more beautiful than anyone else in the kingdom's, in king's eyes. But they knew the power of unity. She said, let's all of us get united. And you know what happened after that. They had the miraculous victory. And even when you go through the books of Kings, the great things happen. But I want everyone go to John 15. So Satan knows the power of unity. Satan knows the power of unity. He always tries to create division among brothers and sisters. Unfortunately, we see it. We see different denominations. And most of them, we are amazed. We're like, what you're saying doesn't even matches with the word of God. I like what Andrew Womack says. Andrew Womack says, come across this Baptist woman, and Baptist woman says, you know, this thing doesn't exist anymore. This part of the Bible doesn't exist anymore. And Andrew says, why don't you just tear it off of your book? And you know what? The thing is, everything the word says, the word of Father is life and active. Its spirit is life. When we read John 6:63, the word of God never dies. Never starts. The word of God, I remember many years ago, I shared with everyone at church that Father, Holy Spirit revealed to me that the word of Father is a spiritual being. That's why I always echo it into my house, because they are a spiritual being. They're a spirit, they're alive, they never die. When we read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah says, the word of Father came to me. It doesn't say God said to me, the Lord said. It says, the word of Father came to me. And many other part of the books we read, they said, the word came to me, because the word of Father is powerful. But we see, unfortunately, division in among brothers and sisters. But let's go to John 15. It starts, first, Jesus advising everyone to stay in him. And then gradually it says, stay together. I want to start with verse I decided not to use my iPhone. I said I want to use my book because I like it. So if it takes me a little bit longer to get there, I apologize. So Jesus, the first advice he's giving everyone, it says, remain in me. Remain united with me. When we read John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the power of unity. When we get united with him, mighty things happen. And we see Holy Spirit repeated this part in, I believe it's in Philippians 4:13. It says, you can do all things through him. And then let's go to verse 7. It says, if you remain in me and in my word, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It doesn't say if you don't remain in me. It says it comes back to the power of unity. It comes back to what I show you. When we remain in him, we get united with heaven. We get united with the kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God. We become a team, a strong team. That's why it says whatever you wish, it will be done for you. Now let's go to 9. It says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. This is crucial. This is This is essential for every Christian to remain in His love. Because He is love, the only way we can remain in Him is remain in love. We talk in friendship. Holy Spirit taught about friendship through Beverly to all of us this morning. One thing is continue loving each other. If one of us says something, do not get offended. The spirit of offense is what create divisions and distance and split the body of Christ. If you see someone is wrong, teach them in love. But if they're not receiving, pray for them. Continue loving them. Just imagine, Jesus says, pray for your enemy. You don't think He wants us to pray for each other? Definitely, if I see Hamid is wrong, I'm not going to condemn him. I'm going to teach him in love. I'm going to speak the truth. If I see there is a barrier, I'm going to get in battle with that barrier with prayers and with love. The battle we have, our weapon, is different than weapon of an enemy's weapon. Hatred and condemnation, that's enemy. But ours is prayers and love. He says, and remain in His love. And when we come down to 12, it says, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. This is very important. Look at that. God, Jesus Christ knew how enemy is going to come and cause division in the body of Christ. And Jesus is praying for us, and He says, He's commanding us. It says, love each other as I love you. This command is so great, it's so mighty, that come down to 17. It says again, this is my command, love each other. Love each other. Do not condemn each other. Do not hate each other. Speak the truth. We said, what is the truth? The word of God. In love. He says, speak the truth in love. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's love for one's friend. You are my friends. If you do what I command, this is the only way you can show me you are my friend is when you follow my commands. What is His command? Love each other. Love each other. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you so that you might go and bear fruits. But look at that. There is a mightier definition. When we go to 2 Corinthians 2:10, 2:10 and 11. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. And I want everyone to go to verse 2. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 10. So I said we need to love each other. We need to love each other. We need to be united. We should not condemn each other. We shouldn't get offended. If we think someone is not hearing the truth or the word of God, we need to pray for that person. We need to continue loving that person. Look at this. We need to forgive them. We need to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's see what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I've forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not adweb us. For we are not unaware of his scam. Do you know what outwit is? Deceive or defeat us. Do you know why? Because Satan knows the power of unity. When we don't forgive each other, when we don't pray for each other, when we don't love each other, just like Jesus asked us, what the spirit of offense, Satan comes and create a distance among us, create a split between the body of Christ. This is why it's so crucial for us to stay in the unity and love each other, to pray for each other, forgive each other. See, look at that. He says, Jesus says in 15b, he says, I call you my friend. When we are friend, when we are in friendship, we are in brotherhood. You know, in universities here, they have brotherhood. What does that mean? That means they stick together in anything. Right now, as Jesus says, we are in brotherhood. We should be united, hands to hands. And any problem that comes, we have to get united together and fight, join in that battle with love and prayers to our brother and sister and fight the battle with that. We are in brotherhood. We are in brotherhood with Jesus, and that's mighty. Let's go to Psalm 133:1. See what David says about brotherhood. It says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell even together in unity. We must remember we are not friends, just regular friends. Our friendship is very deep, is very strong. We are family. We are brothers and sisters. We have the same spirit. It is very significant to know that. Do you know why Jesus said, you are my friend or you are my brother? Why Father says, you are my child? Because he's trying to help us to understand how much he loves us. We are so physical. Our brain is so physical. We can understand this his deep spiritual love and compassion, love that he has for us. He says, I'm your father, you're my child. Why? Because he wants to give us something that we can relate to so we can understand how much he loves us. Because I promise you, there is not mom and dad in this room, or I don't know in the world, but I know for sure in this world, there is no parents in this world that say, I don't care about my children. I don't even like them. To me, they don't even live. Do you? No. Oh, anytime there is a prayer request, we all raise our hands. Can you pray for our child? Can you sign an agreement for my daughter, for my son? We love our children. And Father said, okay, they can relate themselves to that love. So, okay, I'm Father, you're my children. Jesus says brotherhood. We love our brothers and sisters. We care about them. When they're in trouble, our heart goes for them. They want to help us to understand what a bond they want us to have. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:9-11. When we go to 1 Corinthians 1:9-11. It says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship, brotherhood, friendship, all of them is the same thing. Statement comes to one thing, remain united with Christ. It says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. Here, brothers and sisters, I just want you to know that he's referring to all the believers. It says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thoughts. You would be perfectly united in mind and thoughts. You know, the perfect unity when we get united together and then we get united with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said that we need to pray for each other. When we go to 2 Corinthians 1, 9, and 11. In 2 Corinthians 1, 9, 11. This is the problem. Paul was in prison. They were about to put the sentence for them to be killed. Listen to the Paul. It says, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raised the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." We just said that Holy Spirit spoke this in Psalms 34, that he will deliver us from all our troubles. As you help us by your prayer. In 11, it says, as you help us by your prayers. Right here is the power of prayers. The power of prayers is so strong. We need continuously remain in praying for each other. If we see there is a brother and sister in trouble, we need to pray that brother and sister. Sometimes I'm reading a book, and suddenly Holy Spirit brings someone, rise up someone in my heart. I immediately close the book and I go before his presence and I start praying for that person. The whole thing, and sometimes my enemies come to my mind. And I know Satan wants to make me angry. I immediately go to Father's throne and I start praying for my enemy. Prayers is so mighty. When we read the book of Job, Father asked, "What are you doing? What were you doing?" He said, "I was going throughout the whole world to see who I can devour." And Holy Spirit remind us again in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, the enemy, Satan, is going throughout the whole world to see who he can devour. And then what our Holy Spirit is telling us through Apostle Paul, it says, pray without ceasing. Constantly get in a habit of praying in the Spirit. Prayers is mighty. And what I love about praying in the Spirit, that I can, for instance, I'm at work, I can do what I'm doing, but I still can pray in the Spirit. My spirit and my body can operate separate. I mean, they are united together. But at the time that I'm cooking, I'm praying in the Spirit. Because what happens? Holy Spirit intercede. And Holy Spirit, who knows the heart of Father, who knows what is his will for us or for the person who played in our heart, he knows what to pray to Father. So that praying in the Spirit and praying without ceasing is so powerful that even Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 1:19, it says, you help us with your prayers. You were part of it. It was Father's hand that we learn not to rely on for ourselves, but rely on Father. But you also help us with your prayers. I want everyone to go to 17, John 17. And I'm going to start with verse 9. Now here Jesus is praying for us. He's praying for all the disciples. He knows he lives in the world. But in 14, he says, don't be anxious. I'm not going to keep you orphan. I'm going to send the Spirit of God. It's going to come and live with you. I'm never going to leave you by yourself. But see what Jesus is praying for us. I'm going to start in 9, John 17, 9. He's praying for us to Father. He said, Father, I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. For they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Look at that. Here, can you hear the unity between Father and Son? This is the main focus, unity. All I stop and I remind you. I remember Keith Moore, you know, he likes to dwell in one scripture, and one woman came to listen to him because her husband insisted. And the first time she listened to Keith Moore, she said to her husband, "Who is this man? He keep repeating one verse. He keep repeating one thing over and over and over." But suddenly it clicked in her heart. And now she re-listens to one sermon 3-4 times. But the reason I'm repeating it is not, it's just as I feel in my heart. I want to tell everyone how powerful it is to remain united. Now me, Hamid, and Omid, whenever, whatever we want to do, we get united. We never pray without each other. Omid, come down here. Hamid, don't do that. Let's we hold hand. We remain united. Is it just church family? No, even your family. Even your kids, children. What, and anytime we get together, we always remind ourselves. We said, "Thank you, Jesus, that it's not three of us, it's four of us, because you said if two or more gather together, you're going to be in our midst." And Father, we come, four of us coming before you. The unity is powerful wherever you are. It's powerful wherever you are. Before anything you do, You get in prayers. I remember I was talking to Charlene about unity. Something happened and we got united. We prayed over it and we gained, you know, everything was resolved. The trouble was gone and victory came. But Charlene even had a deeper revelation. She said, "Shala, now every morning I wake up and I just start with praying in tongues. For a certain time, I don't remember the time," she said. "But now that's what I do. I just go before his presence. I used to just give thanks, praise, asking for provision and for blessings. But now the first thing I do for the first 20 minutes, I just pray in tongues. I just go before his presence, just pray in tongues." It's very powerful. But here, he says, "All I have is yours and all you have is mine." It's reminded, going back to the unity. Wherever Jesus did and saw miraculous power, it's because he unites himself with Holy Spirit and with Father. And let's go down to, it says, "And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." Listen to me. Jesus' prayers over us was the prayer of unity. I'm repeating myself. Look at 11b. Jesus says, "Oh, Father, protect them that they may be one as we are one." That's how powerful it is when we remain united. And so Jesus knew that Satan's going to divide us. What does Paul say? He says, "I plead to you, love each other, get along with each other. I forgive each other. I even forgive, because we want to be defeated by Satan's scheme, trick." Why? Because Satan is going all over the world. He sees the division before the sisters and brothers. He comes and starts whispering, "Did you see what she said? Did you hear what he did? Did you see the way he looked at you? Or she said, did you see the way she turned her head when you said that?" My brothers and sisters, stand against that voice. Go before Father and start praying for that person and praying for your heart. Every day I give my heart to Father. I say, "Father, I give my heart to you. Fill it with your desire. Help me to see the truth. Help me to see the truth." Look at that. "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name so they may be one as we are one." Look at that. It says, when in 17, it says, sanctify them by the truth. Do you know what sanctify means? Sanctify means makes them holy. The truth, that your word is truth. So what is truth? It's only his word. This is why we need to remain in his word. When we remain in his word, that's when Father reveals Satan to us. That's when Father reveals the work of enemy. That's when we know how we can defeat the enemy, what kind of action we need to take. It says, let's go down to verse 20. Now he's believing for, he's praying, Jesus praying for all the believers' unity. Because he knew Satan tries to break our unity. See what Jesus says. Let's come down to verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Listen, here Jesus is praying for all of us. He says, my prayers is not for those alone. It's also for people who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. All of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. See how many times Jesus is repeating this. He repeated on 17:11b. He repeated on 17:21. He's repeating again on 17:23. In 17:22, and he's repeating it again in 17:23. So don't complain if I'm repeating it 20 times. Because he wants us to hear this message. We need to stay united. Don't get mad at each other. Don't get on each other's throat. In your heart, don't get offended. As Paul said, no, not Paul. As Holy Spirit said through Paul, I plead you, let's get alone. Let's not get offended. Let's stand against the spirit of offense with love and prayers. Let's stand against the spirit of offense by forgiving each other. By forgiving each other and praying for that person and praying for our heart, ourselves as well. By praying for God to show us the truth. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity. What is the complete unity? When we come, we get united on earth and we get united in heaven with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is the complete unity. That is the complete unity. I was listening to this mighty man of God. He was saying that, I don't understand. That I see these believers, that when they're singing for Father, they said, you love us. Thank you for loving us. You're awesome. You can solve everything. It's just like they are in awe. But when it comes to trouble, they start shaking. And you know what? I must be honest. I was like, I think he's talking about me. You know, it's just we feel defeated. But that shouldn't be. If in praise and worship, we stay in awe. If we see the word, I'm a word person. I have to, like I say, they say, I see a foreign name, the name that I never heard it. If you tell me, it's not going to be stuck into my memory. I say, write it down. I have to see the word. So, like, I love this, that how the word was in my hand. And it was like, I was communicating with the word. And it just, I enjoy the praise and worship. But if I rejoice, I see it, I'm like, yes! Yes, that I should not, none of us should be defeated when the trouble comes. Our attitude should be the same. This mighty man of God said that anytime problem comes, you should rejoice. Because when the problems comes up, Father sent the angels and the angel smashed it with one provision, with one promise of God. That's mighty. When we know the truth, when we know the word, nothing should make us shiver. Nothing should make us afraid. I have so many favorite verses, but recently that I constantly refer to is 1 Peter 5:7. But I'm going to let you look it up yourself as an assignment when you go home. But let's go. So we can see, it says, I am in you, and I in them. Jesus says, I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Do you know what this remind me of? It's three part: spirit, soul, and body, and Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I am in them, they are in me, and I'm in you. I want everyone to go to Ephesians 4:1-14. I love the book of Ephesians. It reveals the mystery to us. It helps us to see our spiritual weapon. It is such a mighty book. The book of Ephesians, the book of James, the book of Jude. Awesome, awesome. So let's go ahead and last week we went to Ephesians 1, 9, and 10. But let's go to Ephesians 4. So we read in John 17:23, Jesus says, I'm in them, you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity. And he said, the whole world, we know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. And we said, what was his command? His command, we said, in John 15:12-17. He said it in John 15:12. If you want to remain in me, you must follow my commands. What is my command? To love each other. He repeats himself in the same chapter, but in the different verse, farther down, 5:17, it says, love each other. Now, let's read from chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble. Listen, the humble heart forgives. Arrogant heart doesn't forgive. Arrogant heart says, what? Did you look at me like that? Who do you think you are to look at me like that? Who do you think you are that you turn your back to me, or you said, talk back to me? That's the attitude of arrogant heart. And that's the characteristic of Satan's heart. But humble heart is the heart who forgives. Humble heart who comes to Father and knows that they make mistakes and ask for Father's forgiveness and forgives other people the same way that Father forgave us. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Bear with one another in love. Bear with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity. Let's see how many times it repeated the word one. O-N-E, the word one. Let's see. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when we were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Seven times he has repeated the word one. And when you are one in love with each other, they call that unity. They call that brotherhood. They call that friendship. They call that fellowship. Let's come all the way down to 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may build up until we reach what? Unity. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When maturity happens, when we all of us come united, unfortunately, we still see that people have different faith. But praise the Lord for this message that Holy Spirit is revealing to us, that we're gonna in our church, we're gonna stay united. When we see brothers and sisters in different faith, we're gonna pray for them. We're not gonna hate them. We're gonna pray for them. We're gonna love them. We're gonna teach them in love. If they turn their back, we're gonna forgive them. We're not gonna get offended. We're gonna pray for them. The prayers is mighty. Let's go all the way down to 14. Then we will no longer be infant, tossed back and forth by the wave and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. It says, then we are gonna know who is the wrong teacher, who is the wrong prophet. Instead, speaking the truth, what we said, what is the truth? His word is the truth. Speaking the truth in love, listen, speaking his truth in love. This is the key. Speak his truth, but speak it in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, and each part does its work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I want all of us to stand up. I want everybody to stand up. And I want all of us to be united over our church. I want us to give Holy Spirit thanks for this mighty teaching he has given us, so we would know that as a church family, we need to remain united together. We need to stand in love and pray for each other and forgive each other and not let the spirit of the offense to split us, to create division among us. Everybody, let's stand up. And I'm just going to set my clock, my timer, and I want all of us to come in unity just to thank Father for bringing all of us here and thank Father for this unity that is among us.
Thank you for joining us today. This message is brought to you by Hope Church. If you would like more information about Hope Church or to listen to more, please go to www.hopechurchnc.org. That's www.hopechurchnc.org.